Good to be with you just this evening. Apologies for being late. I would blame it on tractors because that's what I normally in, but it wasn't that this evening, just too late getting out. I guess it's been nearly 2 years since I was here, and it's really nice to see familiar faces and new faces as well. Really good. Let me introduce myself then, because some of you won't know who I am. My name's Rob Addicott, and I'm a farmer, and we farm the other side of the Mendips, just near Radstock is our local town, and predominantly an arable farmer. So I grow crops, but we also have a few sheep, which, even though there are a few sheep, they take more time than the arable sometimes, I think. I help run a church over in our direction as well, so I spend a day a week, and we're just planting a new, so the church has three sites, and we're helping lead one of the sites, which has just started, so it's quite exciting, but quite a challenge as well, so hence there's not enough hours on a Sunday anymore. So we come together, don't we, to give our thanks to a God who's faithful, a God who's generous, and a God who always sustains. And so we're going to stand and sing together a hymn, a famous hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father." So to bring these seeds is a little bit of fun. And we are obviously fairly rural here, and we have a link. And I know that there are farmers in the room, there are people who produce food in the room, but my experience of speaking to people is that there is a real disconnect between the food that's produced and their understanding of how it's produced. And I think as well that if I was to put even wheat in front of some people, they wouldn't identify that with some of the food that they eat, which is quite sad really. But I think also that there's a disconnect for people in understanding God as a creator, God as a provider. And we come together today to celebrate harvest, but we really come to celebrate the goodness of God. Because much as I can bring these seeds and say I'm very clever to have harvested these seeds, I didn't make them grow. I just put them in the ground. And God created the ability for that to grow and to develop and to produce food for us. And we are incredibly grateful for that. But we're going to look back at one of the Psalms. And of course, when you're reading the Psalms, you're reading about a group of people who were very intrinsically linked with their food. You read about King David was a shepherd as he grew up. And most people would take time to have their own harvest, to grow their own food. A very different culture and society than we have today, particularly. I don't know how many of you grow your own food, whether that's in fields like I do or in your garden. We have actually a small market garden on our farm as well, and that produces incredible amount of food that I'd actually want to eat. I don't know if I'd want to eat golden linseed on my porridge, but vegetables and delicious salads as well that are really nutritious. But I want to read to us a psalm, a really famous psalm, Psalm 23, and this is where we're going to base our thoughts for this evening. And it's a psalm that's based in understanding who God is, and understanding who God is in the fact that he is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we sing once more, and then I'll share a few thoughts on that passage. And this is another song, slightly more modern song, about the faithfulness of God. And it's called Give Thanks to the Lord our God and King Forever. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the harvest season. We thank you for the reminder that we have this evening of your goodness. And I just pray as we talk over your word a little bit this evening, that you would open our hearts to what it is that you want to say to us. And that we wouldn't be just a group of people who go away from here with a little more knowledge, but we would go away from here a people who have maybe heard something of your heart, and we can put into practice something that you've got for us. So I pray that you would take the words that I speak and the thoughts in our hearts, and that they would be your thoughts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I really like this psalm. I don't know if you like this psalm. I have a strange relationship with psalms, because when I was growing up, it seems like a long time ago now, we used to sing psalms. I don't know if you ever did that. But psalms for me had a strange connotation, because when we used to sing psalms in our church, you had ladies with tambourines with long tinseled things on them. So for me, for a while, it was a little bit of a put off for the psalms, you know. I was into rock music, and I had long hair, and, you know, I thought that was a little bit uncool, to be honest. Not really realizing myself that I was wearing dark clothes and had long hair, slightly uncool. But it wasn't until a few years ago that I began to have a better relationship with the psalms, and the expression of people's hearts, of people being able to pour out, whether they're in a period of rejoicing and of things being good, or of lament of things being bad, of being able to express that to God, and sometimes for that to be unresolved, and sometimes for that to be resolved, for God to speak. And this is a passage, and I didn't have time to look at what David was doing at this point in his life, but it's a psalm of David. And he reaches back to a period in his past where he's a shepherd, and he recognizes the care and love of God for him as a shepherd. And I just wanted to pick out a few things as we travel through this passage. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." The first thing that David does in this, and they're very beautifully written, the Psalms, aren't they? But the first thing he does is recognize the Lord as his shepherd. He recognizes that the Lord is sovereign over him, that the Lord has the best intention for him. We keep a few sheep, and most of the time I have good intentions for my sheep, unless they've escaped down a lane or something and I have to chase them back. But God is good to us. His intentions for us are good. this whole psalm is about how, as a shepherd, he cares for his flock, how he cares for his sheep. And it's maybe slightly different than how we maybe perceive it in this country or in our culture today, but we'll get into that. But the first thing is that David recognizes God as his shepherd. He recognizes him as his sovereign, the source of the blessing. You know, it's so easy to miss in our culture today, in a time when there seems to be a plenty of everything, apart from petrol, obviously, at the moment. But there seems to be plenty of everything, that we miss the source of that sometimes. The Jews, actually, the people of Israel, were no different than that with us, really. And in fact, you see, if you read through the Old Testament, how there was the instigation of festivals so that they would remember the goodness of God. And actually, we're sort of following that tradition today, aren't we? But their festivals are slightly more extravagant than ours, in the fact that you would go and live in a tent during the harvest festival and remember the time that God provided for them in the desert when they were between Egypt and the promised land. And so this festival of tabernacles was one of the festivals that they would celebrate harvest. And it was just a reminder, in that time of plenty, in the time of plenty or lean times, but it was a reminder of God's faithfulness to them, even when they were living in a desert, even when they were living in a place where, in theory, they shouldn't have been able to live. And there was that constant reminder, year after year, of the faithfulness of God. And I love that about the harvest festivals that we have. I love the fact that our children go to school, to a school, where they still have harvest festival. But that's not widespread, I don't think, in our society anymore, which is sad, because it makes a disconnect from us to our food, but it makes a more important disconnect from us and the source of all life, of the sovereign nature of God, the Lord being our shepherd, who leads us to green pastures, to lie down in green pastures. So everything originates and finishes with God, and it's easy to get into a very small world mentality. If I work hard enough, then I've got enough money to get all the food I need, the shelter that I need, and we disconnect ourselves from the source of that food. And we need to remember just what I said earlier on, that I can plant and I can even water these seeds, but I cannot make them grow. It's not me who gives them life. And so we need to be thankful and recognize, just like David did, the sovereign nature of God. But he makes me lie down in green pastures. What does that make you think of? If you were a sheep, I look a little bit like a sheep, I have to say. but we imagine that in this country, don't we? Because this is a very lush, green country. And if I was to lie down in a green pasture, it's full and it's plentiful. But actually, when David's writing, he's talking about a very different climate, a very different environment. I don't know if you've ever watched any information about what green pastures are like in Israel. They're not very green. To be honest, if you look at them, you'd say that's a very brown pasture you've got there. But when you get close in, there's enough food there for the sheep. And the shepherds in that part of the world are experts at finding places for their sheep to eat. And so when it talks about the sheep being led to lie down in green pastures, it means that that God is so good to find them a place where there's contentment, where there's a place where they can actually lie down. they're protected from enemies around them, but that they have sufficient for themselves. So it's not talking about an absolute abundance. It's talking, although God is incredibly generous, but a faithfulness that even in the difficult times, even in the desert times, even when it's arid and difficult, God is faithful to take his people to places where they can lay their heads down, where they don't have to worry about food and clothing. And Jesus, you know, when he spoke, I think it's in Matthew, isn't it? Let's have a look. I did put a mark in it because I can never find these things when I come to it. But Matthew 6, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" I recognize in myself worry, anxiety about how I'm going to provide for my family, how I'm going to put a roof over their head and provide them with food, all the things that they need. But actually what this psalmist realized, what David realized, and what Jesus alludes to as well, is that we don't need to have anxiety about those things. That there's a much more, much bigger picture of life that we need to look at. But again, we live in this incredible abundant society and we miss some of these lessons sometimes. It then goes on to say, he refreshes. He leads me beside quiet waters, it says, hill, but still waters. And he refreshes my soul. And if you go back to that previous thought about almost being a desert environment, how the importance of water, the importance of being refilled and refreshed, even in a desert. I think we've all been through 18 months of something that we wouldn't have wanted to go through, haven't we? Probably, I think Barry said that you'd managed to keep going with some opening the building up here, and but my experiences of watching screens and interacting with people on screens, I'm not really made for it, to be honest. And we've been in a strange time, and it's brought up things, lots of things in our hearts, in our lives, and we need to be aware of those things. But I wonder if that has been a time where we could have been refilled and refreshed by God. I think sometimes we see refilling and refreshing as things that we can do if we're on holiday or if we go out for a nice meal. What other things would you like to do? I'd go for a nice walk, those sort of things. But actually what it's talking about here is that you can be refilled, refueled and refreshed, even in those desert places. And it might not look the same and it might feel hard, but what it's talking about is something, a work that's going on deeper inside us. God is good all the time, even when we find ourselves in what we might call a desert place. In the darkest valley sometimes, and it goes on to speak about that, doesn't it? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even in those darkest valleys, we can be peaceful. And that's not easy, because we've got God's rod and staff to give us direction. And I don't know about you, but when I take my staff out to move my sheep around. It's usually because I want to grab one of their legs so that I can tackle it and move it to a place where it's going to have more food or more water. But it's not sensible enough to know that that's what I want to do with it. In fact, the only way to lead our sheep, I find, is have a bucket of cake and they'll follow you anywhere. They don't know their master's voice. They know the smell of food. But anyway, so, yeah, what is it that we can learn in those situations? What is it that we can gain from being in those times? Because I think that the Bible's clear that we're not immune from the pressures of the world. We're not immune from grief, from things going wrong. We've sadly, during this time, a couple of the leaders who taught me when I was growing up, really vivacious, incredible people, have gone really downhill with dementia. And it's a shock to the system, really. I don't know why I went there, but even in those difficult places where you see people go downhill, where you are grieving for a loss that's not yet come, God is good. And he has intentions for good for you in those moments. And I sometimes think that we don't open our hearts to him. We don't express our emotion to him. We don't show him what we feel. And we don't allow him to show us what he feels. We don't allow him to show us his grief, his pain in those situations. Anyway, that's slightly of an aside. It goes on to say that you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. It doesn't sound like the place where you want to set up your table, does it? In the presence of your enemies. But David had that recognition that God does something in the difficult time, and there's an abundance to it. So in view... Sorry, I haven't finished the passage yet, have I? So surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so David comes to the conclusion, he comes to the recognition, and he's already recognized it, but he's written it in a beautifully poetic way, that actually this life that we live now is only part of an eternal existence. And so the things that we go through, the trials that we go through, that Paul talks about, doesn't it? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you go through trials of many kinds. It doesn't feel too much like joy at the time, does it? But there can be joy in those moments if we're prepared to allow God to work and to change us, to become the people that we were intended to be through those things. If we can glimpse that this is a momentary, that our life is a momentary thing in an eternal existence, and that that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what I'm trying, in a very strange way, to get to is that we can be thankful in all occasions. Thankful because it's what God deserves. It's him who's the shepherd, who's the sustainer of life, who's the sovereign, who's the creator. We can be thankful because that helps us to live externally rather than internally. Our world expands rather than shrinks. We become outward facing rather than inward facing, because when we're thankful, we're looking outwards to who we need to be thankful to. And thankfulness pushes back against a world that seems to be self-obsessed. And that self-obsession, we'd call it sin as well. And that's the disease of the world, isn't it? That we want to push back against, that we've got freedom from. And thankfulness helps us to get a true perspective on where everything belongs. The position of God in our world. But also it helps us to, when we understand that everything we are and everything that we have is sourced by God, it comes from God. When we're thankful about that, it helps us to understand how we can spread that out to the people around us, how we can give it away. So in the middle of a world which is broken and in pain, and there's no doubt, is there, that we see pain around us, we see brokenness around us. Can we spend some time this evening? And I've deliberately, you see, I've got two songs left, and you think, what's he doing here? So we're going to sing another song now, but I would just like us, whilst we're singing that, just to be thinking in our minds of reorientating ourselves to a place of gratitude, to a place of thankfulness, in the presence of God's faithfulness. And when we come to harvest, that's what we're remembering, is God's faithfulness, but it's also for us to be thankful, to have a heart of gratitude. And so I just want you to think in your own mind, whether you're feeling anxious today, whether you're feeling the effects of going through a pandemic and it's slightly unsettled you, whether you're feeling on top of the world today, but what can you have gratitude for? Where is it that God is trying to take you today? Are you in that desert place where you just need him to take you to a place where you feel still enough to be able to lie down? Do you need him to take you to a place where you can drink water, where you can be refreshed? Let's be thankful and let's listen to what it is that God's saying to us. So we'll sing. I'll turn the page. It's called Give Thanks, which is probably a good song to sing at that point. And so with those thoughts of thankfulness, can we spend a few minutes now just praying to God, of being thankful, of expressing our thanks to him, whether that's quietly in your heart or if some of you are bold enough to pray that out loud, that would be really encouraging. So don't be afraid of quiet, but don't be afraid to fill it. And I'll close this part with a prayer of my own, and then we'll sing our final hymn. So, and Lord, we're sorry for the times when we're not thankful, for the times when we are self-absorbed and self-obsessed, and we don't look outward and look upwards to you. And we thank you for all that you have done for us, the way that you provide our physical needs, but also the way that you sent Jesus to rescue us back to yourself so that we might have, just as David said, that eternal perspective, that we would be able to dwell in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we recognize we don't deserve that. So we're incredibly grateful. We're incredibly thankful for what you've done for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to have hearts which are full of thanks and full of gratefulness. and that that would be something that marks us out as your people. Amen. Should we sing one final song? Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.